Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, or about social justice. Today, my visitor is Anne-Marie Khoury. Anne-Marie, a warm welcome to our radio program.
Yes, thank you very much, Beate.
Anne-Marie has been working as a researcher, senior policy analyst with particular focus on Maori issues, and is today the president of Grey Power Auckland, an advocacy organization that promotes the well-being of citizens in the 50-plus age group. New Zealand has designated the week from the 15th to the 22nd of June as Elder Abuse Awareness Week, with the 15th of June being the International Day of World Elder Abuse Awareness, called by the United Nations. Anne-Marie, you are the president of Grey Power Auckland. This organization was founded about 30 years ago.
Yes.
Can you tell us more about what Grey Power is doing?
Well, originally, of course, we were set up to fight the surtax, which was an iniquitous tax imposed on seniors, gobbling up any of their excess income above their entitlement of National Super. And it was a time when there were over 100,000 seniors members of Grey Power, and we were filling halls up and down the country. And of course, it's easy to get people involved in a single issue like that. But today, Grey Power covers a wide range of issues to do with seniors' well-being, because the issues are many and varied, and they have to do with housing and public transport and other sorts of concerns. But we work nationally. We have over 76 associations nationwide, and in Auckland region alone we have 8. So Auckland Grey Power is concentrated in the former Auckland Council area, which is central Auckland, and our concerns at the moment are to help seniors heat their homes. So we've partnered with Pulse Energy to provide a cheap power deal specifically for low users like seniors are, and we're very pleased with how that's going. And we have also negotiated to get council to reduce the pensioner rents in social housing areas from the $15 a week planned increase down to $5 a week for the first 6 months. So we're very pleased with our current achievements.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think, why do you think that the age group above 50 years and older needs a special advocacy group?
It needs a special advocacy group because increasingly we are a digital age where the focus is on youth. And you've only got to look at Auckland Council itself, the Auckland Plan. It is 360 plus pages, really with a dedicated focus to creating policy outcomes for children and youth as a primary concern. And we're not against that. We in fact want intergenerational learning to happen. We want to be supporting that. But at the same time, much of our current focus with council is to advocate for seniors, because they are a hidden, invisible group in society, even though we have the numbers, even though one third of the Auckland population is over 50 right now. It's not featuring at the policy tables and negotiations in the way that we would expect.
Even in the Auckland Council plan in the book, there are hardly any older people in the pictures.
That's true. And I think even the Our Auckland booklet managed one photo of an older person on the front cover for October last year. We're hoping for an improvement on that.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Anne-Marie Khoury. Anne-Marie is the president of Grey Power Auckland, an organization that promotes well-being for citizens of 50 years and older. And we are currently commemorating Elder Abuse Awareness Week. Anne-Marie, can you explain to us what elder abuse means?
Well, elder abuse is any single or repeated act or a lack of appropriate action that's occurring towards an individual or a group of individuals in society. And sometimes neglect is intentional, sometimes it's unintentional. So we are concerned about neglect and abuse, financial, physical, emotional, psychological. And there can be many components that overlap. We know that it is a worldwide problem and that societies across the globe are having the largest bulge in their population entering older age for the first time ever in the history of mankind. So there are many eyes on this problem at the moment from the UN and across the globe, and there's a lot of research being done.
And do you have an example of a typical case that maybe in New Zealand of elder abuse?
Hard to find a typical case because there are many and varied. But one example is the pressure that younger people are having around housing and getting into a house. And, I mean, one way is to size up a grandparent and say, well, we could provide them with a granny flat. So we could persuade them to buy the house for us and we could have this granny flat built. And this has indeed happened in some cases, but the relationship has broken down. They have found it hasn't suited them to have grandma with them, and there's no easy way out. So the abuse begins, and it's subtle in the beginning, and then it increases to the point where the person needs counselling, psychological assistance, and they have to move out. But the question is, if they've put their money into this home and it's in a trust or some other form where they can't get access to it, they just can't up and leave.
So they don't have the money and they don't have the house.
And there's no emergency housing for seniors available. There's no housing policy nationwide for seniors at government level, and therefore there's no funding available. This is something that is being discussed in forums, but at the moment there's no obvious sign of action. So, for example, if you are being physically abused or you suffer rape or anything like that, you can't go to Women's Refuge because you don't have children. Where do you go? There isn't anywhere. So I know of a case where a woman had to leave where she'd put all her savings into a home for her son and daughter-in-law, and she was in the granny flat, and it turned sour and ugly. So she had to go to a boarding house because that was all she could afford on National Super with no other means of support.
The boarding house is like a room with a shared bathroom and kitchen?
That's right. And if you've undergone some trauma in your life, it's difficult to share a bathroom with strangers. And she had to save very hard for about 18 months until she had sufficient money behind her to be able to look for a flat, pay 2 weeks rent and bond, and get the power on. Mm. And at that point is where I met her and found that she was doing voluntary work to help others in her community. And I was really impressed at her resilience and how that was being built through giving to others. But her story was one that really resonated with me.
So she didn't give up. Instead, she fights not for others that they don't have the same problems that she has.
Yes, that's
had.
Correct.
Mm. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon shared his opinion on respecting older people when he said, all human beings are born with equal and inalienable rights, have the right to age with dignity, respected by their families and communities, free of neglect, abuse, and violence. The UN website states that around 4 to 6% of elderly people have experienced some form of maltreatment at home. Elder maltreatment can lead to serious physical injuries and long-term psychological consequences. With the aging population growing in the world, it is quite likely that elder abuse will also increase. Do you have any statistics from New Zealand?
Age Concern is the organization funded to support seniors who experience elder abuse and to look into cases that are reported to them by others. They report 4 cases an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And that must be the tip of the iceberg because, as we know, those cases are most likely to be reported by other people, not the people experiencing the abuse. As in sexual violence and other cases, people are very shameful and they don't want to upset the name of the family or discuss family business in public or even with strangers. So it will be concerned friends, concerned neighbours, people and organisations that become aware that something is going on.
So most of them suffer silently.
That is correct. And so we're only looking at the tip of the iceberg and we do not have the full picture in terms of any statistical data. Mm-hmm.
And what kind of neglect prevention systems and other protections are available?
Well, I mentioned that Age Concern, they actually have a protection program to assist people once cases have been identified. They also are working on prevention by education programs. And in Grey Power, we try to bring about greater awareness amongst our members and through our newsletters.
So when you say education programs, who is educated? People who are affected or people just generally so that they are warned if they see any signs?
Well, I think it's currently aimed at the community as a whole because the more awareness there is, the more people's eyes and ears are opened to see what is going on, the more they will pick up on it and report it. As with child abuse, it's taken time for communities to have that education in place for responses to change and more increased reporting.
Mm-hmm. And you already mentioned an example of housing, and I understand that about 80% of seniors in New Zealand own their house they live in.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Currently, but the figures are going to change. But this gives a picture of comfort and satisfaction for the seniors. Yet, the other day we had an intergenerational forum at the Mercy Spirituality Center, and the housing issues were one of the topics that the younger and the older generation discussed. And I remember the younger people highlighted afterwards that they were surprised that older people were also concerned by the housing crisis in Auckland. Do you think that housing issues could become elder abuse concerns?
Well, definitely. Firstly, there is the actual pressure of finding places. And if there's anything disruptive in your life, like if you're a senior in a village that has an earthquake, or you're a senior in a retirement village where the village goes bankrupt, even though there's been some strengthening of the Act, the laws are not strong enough, and you will probably be ousted from that village without any money in your pocket at all. And so, as in Christchurch, those who suffered in the red zone are still having to, if they don't have other means, they are having to live with strangers or live in boarding houses or in garages or couch surfing. So there's that issue, but there's another link here with families, and that is that under the pressure of the housing crisis, families will be looking and thinking, well, if our nana was to die in 10 years' time, we would be entitled to inherit figure X. What, can't we persuade her to part with the money now? Can't we do something to get her to go guarantor on our loan? And can't we get the deposit for our house from her? And I think that there's no doubt that families will be eyeing up their seniors as a source of income, as a way of dealing with their own problems in the housing crisis.
So they might also ask the older person to go to a rest home and give the house to the younger, to the family, for example.
Indeed, that could be engineered. And it's not so much that these are bad things, because quite often families pull together and there are very good outcomes. It's whether the older person is fully cognizant of what can happen down the track, of what their rights are, and they're not hurried and rushed into this.
Do you also have reports of older people living in a big family with several generations and yet suffering of abuse?
Yes, I think that if you were to interview some of the ethnic organisations that work with their elders, you would get some quite alarming stories. And I don't wish to talk from their experience, because I don't have their experience, but I do know second-hand stories of some quite horrific abuse that is occurring, where people come to this country, they bring their family money, and the young people are provided with a home. And all the generations live together until the young people want to change that. And that's when the abuse level accelerates.
So it goes across ethnicities, it goes across income levels, and whereas it's more likely if people are struggling that they take advantage of elders.
Yes, it's a strange business, because sometimes greed can be intense, even amongst people who are already very well off. So you can't make predictions about who is going to get involved in this or what might drive them. It's a very sad business, and there's too much of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there are not enough penalties. I guess the risk of getting caught isn't high enough, and we don't have a strong enough law. And I believe that the current Minister of Senior Citizens is concerned about this, and I believe she will be looking into this quite
definitely. I think it
definitely.
Will be difficult to prove if somebody says something, and also there are people who are suffering of dementia and who forget or blame somebody of doing something, although the person didn't do it. And I think it's a lot of work to find out the truth.
Well, it won't be easy, but some of it will be around documents, how they're signed, when they're signed, who's there, whether there's robust processes to make sure that people are actually independently getting advice. And I think that's before they sign documents. And I think that's a really important area. And I think having deterrence, knowing that if you misuse somebody's finances, if you actually take advantage of a family member, that you can go to jail. And I think that will be a salutary consideration for some people. At the moment, it's just too easy.
I think that it's also important that older people think about what happens if they cannot decide for themselves anymore, who is going to have the power of attorney. And that's something that people should think about before they become old.
It's a difficult process. We have people who've come to this country following their parents, and their parents have died and they don't have any other family here.
Mm.
And sometimes the people they select may be less than desirable. And it's not this is an area where there's not a lot of easy answers.
Yeah. And what are the challenges and concerns that Grey Power is going to tackle now for the next months or years to come? What do you think, what area does need promotion of fairness and social justice for the older generation?
Well, I think our policies around aged care particularly noteworthy, because at the national level, we're focused on getting an aged care commissioner. So this person would have the power to take cases through the family courts. Because sometimes in families, people know that wrong is being done, and one person may be wanting to do something about it, and the person who's taking advantage of the older person isn't able to be taken through the court system because the rest of the family can't afford it.
And aged care, when you say aged care, is that aged care in private homes and in rest homes?
Yes, this is all aged care, whether it's done by the family or whether it's done in rest homes or in private hospitals, or even in a state facility. This aged care commissioner would have wide powers to look into any levels of abuse, financial, physical, mental and emotional, and also to take cases to court, which currently aren't getting taken unless the individuals have the money to go into the court system.
So they have to have the money first.
Well, yes, there's no other way of prosecuting or dealing with the situation. So, because, as I say, the law is not strong and the provision there for the state to take cases is not there.
So would they call the police now, or if something bad happens?
I think if anyone has concerns about anything that's going on, they should, in the first instance, contact Age Concern, who have specialist staff looking into these cases, and they know what is likely to happen, and they can often meet with people and talk through the issues, and sometimes that is sufficient to deter a person from continuing on in what they are currently doing.
So they would also send like an advocate who could come and mediate, maybe.
That's right. That's right. But they would be the champion of the senior person, and they would be making sure that the right supports are in place.
Yeah. What other challenges are coming up?
I guess for us, we're concerned about the state of aged care in terms of the workers. The investment in these workers is just not there. The career structure's not there. The pay is appalling. It's been described as modern day slavery. And really, something like, how would you like your parents to be treated in their old age? If they need caring for, would you be comfortable with workers who are being paid the minimum wage for what is really a very skilled job? It's not easy deciding on medications and following through regimes of medication. It's not easy lifting patients, and it's certainly not easy maintaining relationships with patients with dementia or those in palliative care, where you need to be really sensitive to the slight changes and difficulties that they may be going through day by day.
So they need training, and they need the skills, and they have a lot of responsibility also.
They have a lot of responsibility, and currently the workforce is an older workforce, so a larger proportion are over the age of 50. And these are people who are supporting families themselves on the minimum wage. They can barely pay rent and feed children and educate them. And it just seems that as sole breadwinners and as women, these people are very dedicated, and they are really doing their best, but they are grossly underpaid. And this is a situation which Grey Power really is extremely concerned about and continues to advocate for at the national level.
Mm-hmm. So they will have the aged care, then the payment of aged care givers. And so that will be topics for the next month especially.
Oh, yes. Well, these are ongoing things. We don't expect miraculous changes in a month. But we do support the Living Wage campaign. We also work tirelessly as advocates within our own local area. And we do go and support people who are wanting change in this area. So we're working collaboratively. We're not just working alone.
Is there also concern about euthanasia becoming possible in New Zealand?
Well, yes, because that is a follow-on, I guess, to an environment where there's weak laws, there's a lack of attention given to seniors' needs and rights, and where seniors are invisible. Mm-hmm. It becomes easier then for people to take shortcuts or look for ways to expand opportunity to look at, well, do we actually have to have all these beds for these people? Do all these people deserve to be carrying on? Do we need to fund these people when we could be doing something else with those funds? And these are sorts of decisions that keep coming up from countries that have changed the law. So it's a very slippery slope. And GRAPAR doesn't have a policy on euthanasia. GRAPAR has not come out and said, yes, we want opportunities for people to die with dignity, or no, we don't. And we haven't come out by saying euthanasia is a terrible thing and we should never support having it. We haven't taken this decision globally as a national organisation, nor have our association got a policy on it. And I know some of our members are for one side and some are for the other side of the debate. So what I would say here is that everything depends on your individual experience. And for those who have watched loved ones suffer, they automatically think there must be a more humane way to do this. On the other hand, they are not thinking of the bigger picture of how people can be euthanized
without wanting it.
Mm. And how difficult it is to police once the law has changed, and how many subtle systems shifts there can be that will bring about an increase in earlier deaths.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you for this interview with you. And I think that it's good that there are advocacy groups like GRAPAR supporting older people in their fight for dignity, in generally speaking. And I wish you all the best for your advocacy work.
Thank you, Beate. And I would just say in passing that, in as a parting comment, that we are apolitical. So we do not support any particular political party. We talk to all parties because that is the way we get best outcomes to improve things for seniors.
Your concern is the seniors without any politics.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So quickly, what is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center? On the 25th of June, Sister Anne-Marie Harvey will bring us closer to Christian art and theology. She will share fascinating stories on three powerful Byzantine empresses. Please come along Thursday, 25th of June, 7 to 9 p.m. And if you'd like to listen to more stories, come and join us on Thursday, 2nd of July. I am going to share stories and legends about Pleiades and Matariki. My stories on the star group will be from different countries and different continents. I'm happy that Akuhatarangi is going to share stories then about Matariki from his Maori ancestors. Thursday, 2nd of July, from 7 to 9 p.m. And if you'd like to listen to Father Merv Duffy, whom I interviewed a couple of weeks ago, come to our Church Father series in July. On Friday, the 10th of July, Father Merv will start the series with his talk, The True Vine, the picture of the Catholic Church first preached to the Maori. Friday, 10th July, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. For all events at our center, please register with us per phone at 09-638-6238 or through our website www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And I wish you all a good Friday and a blessed week ahead. Thank you.